Hello, creeps. It's me, John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. Happy birthday to the Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Dee Snider from Twisted Sister, Strangeland, Celebrity Apprentice, reality shows extraordinaire. You know me. And I want to wish a very happy birthday to the Big Scary Show.
For the deepest, darkest crypts, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious, it's time for the Big Scary Show.
Hey everyone, this is Jason Blazak from Screamline Studios. Love to give a big shout out to Big Scary Show. Happy birthday.
So this is Robert Santos from Necrotic Creations wishing the Big Scary Show a happy birthday.
Oh my God, happy birthday to the Big Scary Show. 2 years old. I have a feeling we'll be saying this for the next 10, 15, or 20 years. God willing, I'm alive, but the Big Scary Show will be there.
Hi, I'm George Frangidakis.
And this is Andrew Freeman.
And we're from Immortal Mass. And happy birthday to the Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Joe Glenn at the Zombie Skin and Pasha Airbrush booth at Transworld. Just want to wish the Big Scary Show happy second birthday.
Hey, this is Thad from Dental Distortions. Happy birthday to the Big Scary Show. 2 years old.
I'd just like to give a big shout out and happy birthday to the Big Scary Show, and thanks for many hours of time wasted at work listening to you. So I'd just like to say happy birthday from Gord at Dossie's Entertainment Company.
This is Dexter Morgan from Haunted Fresno, wishing the Big Scary Show a happy 2 year birthday.
Hi, it's Dr. Terrorize, and I want to wish a big happy second birthday to the Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Caitlin Jaffke from the Don't Be a Monster anti-bullying campaign, and I'd just like to say a big happy birthday to the Big Scary Show.
Hey, Big Scary Show, happy birthday!
It's our party and we'll die if we want to, die if we want to. Yeah, I know, I can't sing. Never claimed I could. Don't expect to see me at Scaraoke at MHC. On the second anniversary of the Big Scary Show, we are taking the coverage to the often forgotten West Coast. Badger sits down and has a chat with Ed Roberts of the West Coast Haunters Convention, a con which we have yet to cover, but we're hoping that our newest special, super special guest correspondent will be able to cover for us. I fulfill a 2.5-year-old commitment and finally air an interview with Dexter Morgan of Haunted Fresno. We talk about magic, Chris Angel, and seances. What do all these have in common? Keep listening. And I also have a chat with Steve Kohlberg, the organizer of the revived Haunt X convention in Reno, Nevada, a show Badger will be attending and teaching at, provided we can keep him away from the craps table. If you get a chance to chat with Steve, ask him about the iced coffee during our interview. The Round Table of Terror is all West Coast this episode, as we speak with Cliff Allen of Worst Nightmare Productions, Jody Bossert and Sean Morse from Haunted Nightmare at the Nile, and Kurt Madden and Dana Young of Nightmare at Beaver Lake. Storm rants on in a haunt minute. In Face Your Fears, I delve a little deeper and address the subject of haunt fears and the terror behind them, and what really scares people who come to haunted attractions. The Haunstrumentalist spins some spooky tunes, including one of his own. A gruesome giveaway winner gets a birthday present from us and Screamline Studios, if he answers correctly. All this, and a virtual birthday cake,
only on the Big Scary Show.
you want a big show with top vendors, useful education, a kick-ass haunt tour, and one hell of a party? The National Haunters Convention at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks. Go to nationalhauntersconvention.com. It's not just big, it's national. May 2nd through 4th. For tickets and information, go to nationalhauntersconvention.com.
Hi, my name is Adrian. I'm from Houston, Texas. I would like to wish the Big Scary Show a happy birthday.
Hi, I'm Drew Delury at AEO Studios. Happy birthday, Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Al Driver from Slaughterhouse Studios, and I'm wishing Big Scary Show happy 2 years birthday.
All right, Haunters, the Unknown Scare Actor here live at Transworld 2014. And I got to tell you guys something. It was 2.5 years ago. I talked to this gentleman, and it was an interview for another podcast, which will remain nameless. And we had a wonderful conversation, lasted about 45 minutes. And you know what? It never aired. And it always has bugged me. I've got the file someplace, but the other podcast went away. Big Scary Show's here, so I'm going to make good on this interview. I am talking to Dexter Morgan with Haunted Fresno out in Fresno, California. Dexter, it's been a long time. It's good to see you.
I appreciate that. It has been a long time.
So, as I recall, when we talked before, you're a magician, have been a magician for many years. You've worked with the likes of Chris Angel, and now you're working for Haunted Fresno. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about Haunted Fresno?
Haunted Fresno is a six-attraction haunted house. We have two traditional haunts, the Fortress of Fear and the House of Zombies. We also have my personal experience, which is a theatrical seance. We also have The Last Ride, the Museum of Oddities, and a standalone elevator. So all six attractions wrapped up into one. It's located in downtown Fresno, at least currently. And we've been operating for 7 years now.
Okay, and then it was a few years less than that last time we talked.
Yeah, but it's only five.
Right. So how was it working with Chris Angel when you were doing that?
It was fun / interesting / challenging. You know, I started on it from ground zero when he didn't even have a show yet. They had just signed him. We hadn't shot one single frame of footage. We literally went into it kind of blind, not knowing exactly what to expect and how to do it, what the show was going to look like. And, you know, shot 16 episodes the first season. Took us a little over a year to do it, living in Las Vegas the entire time, so I kind of had to relocate, live in a hotel room. So it was a little bit of a culture shock. You know, 10 to 14-hour days. We'd get up in the morning and immediately go into production meetings, and then the production crew would go off and the magicians would get together and start trying to figure out what we were going to do for that day. And then we'd actually go out and hit the streets and start filming. And we'd just keep filming over and over and over until we got a handful of the best, you know, the best reactions, the best takes we could find. Don't mean to be a spoiler, but reality TV is not real, folks. It's not quite real. It's just the style it's shot in. But it's made to look real at the time. But no, it's all scripted out. It's, you know, and you take multiple takes, and then you find the best one, and that's what hits the air. Go figure. So it was interesting. I got to work with some really amazing people. And, you know, it's definitely one of those things that I can chalk up to my life experiences. But at the same point in time, was not really where I wanted to be. So ended up leaving after the second season. Shot 38 episodes. Including an hour-long Halloween special, and went home, took about 6 months off to kind of collect my thoughts and figure out what I wanted to do, and that was when I was approached by, at the time, it was Hobbs Grove in Sanger, California. And really good friends with the people out there. They're amazing. Their haunts are incredible. And they approached me and said, hey, do you want to do a seance? Said, you know, I've never thought about it. I'm interested. And they said, okay, we'll build you a room. And they built me a room, and I had 1 week to put it together before their haunted house opened. So I literally threw something together, and it was really, really minimal. It's very basic. It was the best I could do in a week, which is not saying much, honestly. But I got really great reactions, And that was where it started. And, you know, here I am 7 years later.
So going back to your abilities as a magician, what is your... Is there a specific style or type of magic that you like to perform?
I've always really kind of, I wouldn't say specialized, but I've always really preferred, at least for me, the type of magic that almost seems that something supernatural is happening, making things move on their own, making something change from one thing to another. You won't see me doing a lot of coin tricks. You know, you won't see me making the rabbit disappear, nothing like that. It's more of, you know, I've got this, for example, got this piece of wire, and, you know, it came from the, let's say, the Winchester Mystery House. Of course, I've got stories for everything. And that wire is held over a flame, and you visibly see the wire bend and move and turn into a shape that they were thinking of. So stuff like that, more of the metaphysical, almost supernatural type stuff. So it was kind of a natural fit to go right into a seance.
Okay, I was going to ask, so you incorporate that into your seance show?
I incorporate a lot of magic. However, over the years, I mean, at this point in time, I've done more seances than most people who have ever claimed they've done seances. Just considering as how in a night, doing a 12-minute long seance and basically bringing in a new set of people, 28 people at a time every 15 minutes, I'm doing in excess of 30 seances a night, and... You multiply that over anywhere from a 10 to a 15 day period of being open, and I'm doing over 100 of them per season, and I'm coming up on 7 years at this point in time. So I've done well over 800 seances at this point.
Wow!
It started out with doing a lot of magic and very little of anything else, because I honestly, you know, I'll be the first to admit it. When I came into the industry, I knew a lot about magic. I didn't know squat about haunting. I really didn't. So it was eye-opening. And not only did it give me a whole new respect for, you know, this industry, but it also made me so excited. I was like it was like the first time I discovered magic. I came in and found, oh my God, there's this whole world of these neat things, and it's all centered around Halloween and scaring people. And it was like finding magic again for the first time. I really got excited about it and threw myself into it. So now we fast forward, you know, 7 years later, and my attraction is fully DMX. It's got things that nobody would ever think of, because in a haunted house they would have no place, but in a seance it completely makes sense. So I have completely embraced the animatronic world, but at least the automation side of animatronics, and my seance is just grown leaps and bounds to where, you know, my first year people were saying, you know, that was really neat, it was very unusual, and last year I was having to close the seance down to clean off the seats.
Well, that's a good thing, I would think.
It is. Luckily, they were just wet, but still, Lysol and, you know, some paper towels, and you gotta do it. So, but it's great. To me, that's, you know, that's almost a badge of honor that I got them. I am so literally freaked out and scared that they left a little puddle on my metal chair, which is why I buy metal chairs.
It is absolutely a badge of honor for any haunter. Now, do you have a specific character that you use for your seance?
I pretty much play myself.
Okay.
It's one of those deals where if I was playing a character besides me, then not only would I have to worry about what that character was, but I would also have to worry about the quote-unquote character that I'm making up that we're contacting. So rather than convolute the whole thing, I just play me. Everybody pretty much knows who I am coming into it. I give a brief background of who I am, and then we just go right into who we're going to contact. It's not about me. You know, my seance is never about me. My ego is not that large. It's about they're the paying customer. They're coming in to be entertained and to be scared. So it doesn't matter who I am. All that matters is, you're here to experience this. Here's who we're going to contact. Okay, let's go. And there's very little about me.
Okay. Is there anything new that you're bringing out this year that you want to talk about, can't talk about? I love to fish for information, but I understand the need for surprises. So anything special that you can talk about that's coming up?
can't really give out too much information because a lot of the stuff I'm doing, again, I'm the only one doing it, so sure. It really is a trade secret.
Right.
However, there's, at least this point in time, I have been approached by another haunted house who shall remain nameless, that, at least for now, because I don't talk about anything until the contract's signed.
Absolutely.
But they have asked me to reproduce my seance in another location. So it looks like there may be multiple attractions of mine out in different parts of the state, or possibly even out of state.
Nice. Okay. Well, like I said, I won't pry too much, but you know, feel free to email me and let me know when you can say something, and we'll get it on the show.
Okay.
And let people know. How can people keep up with you and with Haunted Fresno, social media wise?
Social media wise, you can go to Haunted Fresno. You know, we have our own Facebook page, so you can take a look at that. HauntedFresno.com is the website. They can take a look at that. Other than that, that's pretty much where you're going to find me.
Okay.
I mean, I try to keep everything pretty much in-house. You know, I own the seance, but I am the general manager of Haunted Fresno. I run the entire event. Everything from construction down to the marketing and creation of the website, et cetera, et cetera. So it really is kind of my baby. Although that's a good and a bad thing, because it used to be four people's jobs and now it's all mine.
Oh boy.
So yeah, it's an awful lot to try to undertake by myself, but still I love it, otherwise I wouldn't continue to do it. So if you really want to get a hold of me, just reach out through Facebook, Haunted Fresno, and it's going to come right to me.
All right. Well, Dexter, I want to thank you for taking the time again to talk to me.
My pleasure.
You know, I said I wanted to make good on this. I really wanted to get you out there because we had such a compelling conversation last time, and this one is just as compelling. So I'm always about promoting anybody I can, and, you know, you've got a passion for this business that rivals some of the haunters that have been doing this for 20 years.
And I have nothing but the utmost respect for them, because this is an amazing business, but it's also a very challenging business. So the fact that they've been doing it so long and they're doing so incredible at it, I just have nothing but respect.
It is. Again, once again, thanks for talking to me on the Big Scary Show. I am the Unknown Scare Actor, and I'm going to go talk to some more people and let Dexter get back to wandering around this craziness that is Transworld.
Happy birthday to the Big Scary Show from Best Halloween Store Ever. Hope you have a good year this year, and then many more to come.
Hi, this is Stacey Gilbo at HauntCon, Brickhouse Printing. Just want to give a big shout out to the Big Scary Show. Happy birthday.
Happy bloody birthday to the Big Scary Show. Love you guys. Rock and roll. Ow.
Sam Haynes. Haunts on the Big Scary Show.
Sounds kind of silly, but would you believe that the spirits of the dead can come back to haunt the living? Do you believe in ghosts?
Best wishes to the Big Scary Show on your second anniversary from all of us in Canada and the Canadian Haunted Attractions Conference.
Hi, I'm Manny Holverson from Closed Casket Creations. We make props and special effects items. Happy birthday to the Big Scary Show!
I'm Josh Kirsch from Darkest Fears Unlimited, and I'd like to say happy birthday to the Big Scary Show, and looking forward to the Terrible Twos.
The eyes of the haunt world turn towards the Greater Columbus Convention Center in beautiful Columbus, Ohio, as the Midwest Haunters Convention returns for its 11th year, June 6th through the 8th, 2014. MHC provides the best in educational seminars, workshops, tours, and networking opportunities second to none. Exciting contests, vendors, and of course, the best masquerade ball in the industry. And don't forget to sign up for the pre-show tour. For everything you need to know about MHC 2014, visit MidwestHauntersConvention.com.
Hey, this is Dolly Molly from Still Be Studios. We want to wish a Big Scary Show a happy birthday.
This is Tom Martino with DWN Productions, director of Race War the Remake. You can find out more about us at DWNProductions.net. And I just want to wish the Big Scary Show a happy, happy birthday.
This is Edward Douglas from Midnight Syndicate, wishing the Big Scary Show a happy birthday.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is the Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
Alright, so something occurred to me this week, and I think it's something that can help us out for our marketing campaigns for our haunt this week. There is an incredible amount of gullible, lazy people out there. If you don't blame me, go take a look at your Facebook feed. It is phenomenal. The number of people reposting and sharing all these fake news stories. I mean, stuff that is really, really bad and just stupid articles. And people, wow, oh my god, I can't believe this. And even the article itself, you know, it'll be from www.bobsfakenews.com. I mean, no one vets anything anymore. They just want to believe whatever crazy thing comes across and, ooh, this seems like something crazy and look, ooh, seems true. No one even bothers to do a Google search, pick up a paper, or stop and think if a story makes sense or anything. And it's not even, you know, April Fool's Day. We had a couple little bit of fun with the breaking news on our website and everything, and, you know, I had out there that Jerry Vane had joined Devo. Stop and think about that for a second. Jerry Vane wouldn't be a guitarist for Devo, any other band maybe, but I mean, the styles are completely different, and just nothing makes sense. But man, did the text blow up, and people were sharing that one left and right. It's absolutely fantastic. but just goes prove the tool proves we have another tool in our toolbox for marketing this year for Haunts. It is the gullible people. It is the fake news. Whatever legend, theme, anything you're going with your haunted house, man, make it look like a fake news site. Share it on Facebook. You are going to have social media ride like there's no tomorrow from this thing. Better yet, news might even show up to disprove it. Perfect, fine, awesome. People won't care. They'll see it on news. People are only reading headlines now. They're too lazy to look up anything else. Take advantage of it and put the money in your pocket if people are going to do this. So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Storm.
Hi, this is Ed Edmonds from Distortions and Making Monsters. I would like to wish the Big Scary Show a very happy birthday.
Hi, this is Eric Zapata from Face Off Season 5, and I would like to just wish a happy birthday to the Big Scary Show.
Greetings, Haunters. It's Sunday morning at Transworld 2014. The show floor isn't quite busy yet because I think half the vendors and the buyers are still hungover. But you know what? I made it here on time, bleary-eyed and all. And I'm sitting here talking to Steve Kohlberg from Haunt X out in Reno, Nevada. Steve, how is it going?
It's going great. We just finalized a bunch of new vendors and finalizing the education program.
And from what I understand, this is being a revitalization of this show.
Yes, it is. It changed owners, so it's really a first-year show for all intents and purposes. But we're kind of building on the history that was there and really taking it up a notch.
Well, I think it's something that the western part of the states need because everything seems to be right around the Mississippi or east. And, you know, we've got Scare LA, and now we've got Haunt X. We got West Coast, but most of it's all concentrated on the East Coast. Is that part of the reason you prompted to get it going again?
Absolutely. We saw a need on the West Coast. The haunters on the West Coast are kind of spread out. Midwest, you can throw a rock and hit a haunted house. But we're looking to really amp up the culture on the West Coast and kind of start building a West Coast haunt culture of its own.
Well, it's definitely needed. I know the West is spread out a bit, but, you know, I would love to see cons all over the country on a regular basis and make everybody one big haunt family from Atlantic to Pacific.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, everybody who goes to a haunt convention loves it and comes back year after year. It's just that tradition hasn't started yet on the West.
So talking about Haunt X, what kind of education do you have lined up this year for it?
We've got over 30 hours of classes that are included with admission. We're real strong in makeup. We're real strong in what I would call geek or tech stuff, microprocessors, prop control, pneumatics. We're also doing a lot of work with faux finishes, how to prop design. So it's kind of a full-featured education lineup.
So, Steve, there's a rumor going around here that a certain member of the Big Scary Show is going to be teaching out at Haunt X this year.
That's right. Drew's going to come out, and he's going to do a couple of three-hour actor training sessions for the local haunt owners. We're really excited about that. We're also doing on Thursday some pre-show education with some pretty big names, too. Steve O'Connor from Garage of Evil is going to be teaching haunt design from the ground up. Dutch Bahari, who is a fantastic airbrush artist, is going to be teaching 3D painting techniques. And Leonard Pickle is going to be teaching how to start your haunt without losing an arm and a leg.
So you've got a bunch of heavy hitters going to be there.
You got that right.
So what other kind of activities, I can't even talk this morning, what other kind of activities have you got going on for the show?
Well, like any good con, half the fun takes place after dark. So Thursday night, what we're doing is we have what we're calling it a paranormal tour. Near Reno is Virginia City, which is an old mining town, dates back to the 1800s. And we've secured services. In fact, you're the first people we've been able to tell. The Cosentinos, who have been on a number of television shows doing paranormal investigations, will be doing our featured paranormal investigation at the Washoe Club, which is considered one of the most haunted places in America. We also have a couple of other paranormal investigations going on. It's kind of paranormal light, to be honest with you. You can't put a lot of people through in a short period of time, but it'll give our attendees a taste. It includes transportation. We're feeding everybody pizza and beer when they get to Virginia City. A little bit of history, and then we got some surprises up our sleeve I think they'll really like.
Well, you go pizza and beer with Haunters, and they're going to start seeing things on their own.
We're kind of counting on the fun being self-perpetuating. Friday night, we're also got a crazy new event, which is in downtown Reno. We're pairing with a company that does pub crawls, and we're going to have a vampire-themed scavenger hunt and pub crawl Friday night. And it's very inexpensive. It's $20. You get a commemorative T-shirt and a cup. The cup gets you into one of like any number of 20 bars. Each of the bars is running contests. It has live music, drink specials. And then while you're kind of touring the local hotspots, you're also collecting clues for the scavenger hunt. We're all going to gather back at the hotel around midnight, and there'll be prizes and a party on Friday night.
It sounds like you've put a lot of thought into Haunt X. It sounds like a wonderful time. I'm kind of jealous that Drew's going instead of me.
Well, you're still welcome to come. Yeah, no, we plan on, for a first-year show, we're going to launch big. I think we're going to make quite a splash this year. We're also doing a Dance of the Damned costume ball Saturday night. And Sunday night, we're doing what we call Cheesy Movie Night as kind of a wind-down. So there's plenty to do at the show, I promise.
Well, on top of it being in Nevada, I mean, I'm sure everybody can find something to do, right?
Yeah, the bars close at 4, so there's plenty to do.
Oh, gosh. What kind of vendors do you have lined up for the trade show floor this year?
We're at 30 what I call Class A vendors right now in negotiations with the number 10. Just some examples are Skulltronics, Necrotic Creations, Pache, Contours FX, Twisted Management, Trick or Treat Studios, Hotwire Foam Factory, Exotic Lenses, Find a Haunt, Girls and Corpses Magazine, EFX Tech, the 1031 Store, Designer Gore, Face FX, Rallis Cons, Mad Monster Masks, Heartstoppers, Atmos FX, Monster Jet, Creepsville 666, and like I say, there's still another 10 or so in negotiations. It's going to be a big show floor too.
Well, right there is a who's who in the haunt industry, so obviously you've done your homework. You're not new to this game, so it sounds like Haunt X is going to be the place to be. And what are the dates on that?
May 8th through May 11th, and again, it's Reno, Nevada. Show's really affordable too. The venue is Circus. So, 3-day show pass is $90, which includes the education and admission to the trade show. Hotel rooms average $65 a night. So you can come up Thursday through Saturday, attend the show for under $300.
Now, you know what? I can't argue with that because I just got my bill for my hotel at Transworld this morning. And I think my credit card screamed.
Yeah, no kidding. No, we were real lucky with the deal we were able to cut with Circus. Reno really wants us to come and stay and make this an annual event, just like we do.
So if anybody out in the West Coast or anybody in the country that wants to come to Haunt X, where can they find out more information?
At our handy-dandy website, www.hauntx.com. And we have a Facebook page.
And what's that Facebook page?
Facebook.com/HauntX.
Simple as that.
You got it.
Steve, thanks for taking the time to talk with me, the unknown scare actor, and not Drew Badger for once, here at Transworld 2014. The show floor is starting to pick up. The fog's starting to pick up. Everybody's going to start losing their voices. Again, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. I wish you nothing but the best in the future. I will send Badger your best. And hopefully, if I can't make it out this year, I will be able to make it out next year.
Love to have you. I think it's going to be a great time. And would love to see everybody.
This is the Unknown Scare Actor here at the booth at number 840 at Transworld, and I am out.
a big, happy, scary birthday to the big, happy, scary birthday show. I missed sending you my warm greetings last year. It's Gothic Gourd Girl from Gothic Gourds. Say that three times fast. Because I was sick. So for belated for last year, and even more for this year, much love from all of us in Canada.
This is Buster.
And this is Dan.
Happy birthday, Big Scary Show.
From the Goucher Hotel.
Hi, this is Steve from Hauntex, and we're here just wishing the Big Scary Show a happy second anniversary.
And ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of the show that we love, where we love to give away fantastic prizes just for being a loyal listener. That's right, it is the April edition of the Gruesome Giveaway, sponsored by Screamline Studios. Please go to screamlinestudios.com, check out all their really cool stuff, or you can keep listening and maybe win something. You know how this works. Last show we asked a question. The answer was in the show. We had a bunch of people enter. We selected a random entrant, and we have that random person on the line. Hello, random caller. What is your name? Where are you located?
Hi there. Ken Jones from Sharon, Pennsylvania.
Sharon, Pennsylvania. Excellent. Great haunts in Pennsylvania. Been to a few, and excellent. Ken, you know how this works. I'm going to ask you a couple of quick legal questions before we see if you know the answer to the Gruesome Giveaway. Question number one, have we in any way, shape, or form contacted you other than to tell you when to call in?
No, you have not.
Okay. Second question, have you tried to influence us in any way to up your chances of winning? You know, bribery, money, jewels, anything like that?
No, absolutely not.
Excellent. Like to hear that. So, without further ado, Ken Jones of Sharon, PA. I believe the question this month for the Gruesome Giveaway was, from what company did the unknown scare actor buy his new mask from?
That was Immortal Mask.
Immortal Masks is absolutely correct. Congratulations, Ken Jones, Sharon, Pennsylvania. You are the April winner of the Gruesome Giveaway, sponsored by Screamline Studios. If you'll hold on the line for just a couple seconds, we'll get some shipping information from you. Do you work at a haunt, own a haunt, or work in the business?
I'm an actor for Ghoul Mansion in Sharon, Pennsylvania. Been involved for 10 years, 3 years at this haunt.
Excellent. Ghoul Mansion in Sharon, Pennsylvania. Everybody out in the area, make sure to go check out Ghoul Mansion and check out Ken out there. Well, Ken, once again, congratulations for being the winner for the April Gruesome Giveaway here on the Big Scary Show. Again, hold on so we can get that shipping information. And once again, everybody, keep listening for your chance to win here on the Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Heather Henry from Face Off Season 2. And I wanted to say a big happy birthday to the Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Jeremy Licht, Anthony from The Twilight Zone, the movie. And you're listening to the Big Scary Show, celebrating its second birthday. Happy birthday to you guys.
Happy birthday, Big Scary Show. I hope that we can meet you again soon to have a bite.
Hey, this is Tater. Come buy your fog from me, because if you don't, I'll be homeless.
My name is Kenneth, and I'm with K Studios, and a huge happy birthday out to the Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Lainey Chantel. I would like to wish the Big Scary Show a happy birthday.
This is Leonard Pickle from HauntCon, wishing the Big Scary Show a happy second birthday.
Ladies and gentlemen, the dulcet tones of Virgil Franklin fading into the background means only one thing. It is time for the Round Table of Terror. And here on our second anniversary, we are celebrating the unknown haunts that you've all probably forgotten about. Let's face it, folks. When somebody says, I'm going to plan a vacation, I'm going to go someplace in the country and see a bunch of haunts, what pops up? The Midwest, the Northeast, South, maybe? Nobody seems to think of
the West Coast. There's an awful lot of good quality haunts out there. People think, you know, Disneyland and other things, but the West Coast has a lot more to offer than rain, flannel shirts, coffee, and hippies. So we're doing a nice tribute this show to the great folks out there on the West Coast. So we put the call out, grabbed a few people from the West Coast who are obviously taking time out of their busy schedules of mountain biking and coffee housing and things like that to come and talk to us. And we've got some guests such as Cliff Allen out in Los Angeles. Cliff, are you there?
I am.
You're with Worst Nightmare Productions, filmmaker and ex-haunter, or maybe current haunter, and lots of cool stuff. Good to talk to you, Cliff.
Thank you.
We've got Jody Bossert, the producer of Haunted Nightmare at Mount Lake Terrace, Washington. Is that correct? Jody, you there?
Yep, thanks for having us.
Absolutely, and with Jody is Sean Morse, who I believe is the haunt director of Haunted Nightmare out there. Are you there?
That's right. Howdy.
Hey, great to have you guys. And we've got Kurt Madden from, Nightmare at Beaver Lake up in Washington State, Des Moines, if I'm correct.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
Okay. And Dana Young, last but certainly not least, with Scare Productions and also with Nightmare at Beaver Lake. Dana, are you there?
I am.
It is great to have all of you there from the West Coast, along with our four hosts, including Storm.
Greetings from the land of American fish and chips.
The unknown scare actor.
I'm actually participating in this round table in my new hearse.
Very nice. Our West Coast correspondent, the haunstrumentalist Jerry Vane from Vegas.
The land of all-you-can-eat buffets, gambling, and quickie divorce and weddings.
My name is Drew Badger. I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina, where the state bird in the Carolinas is the mosquito. Welcome, everybody, to the West Coast Round Table of Terror. And I've got a question for all of you guys. First of all, how is the weather on the West Coast?
It's a big lie that the weather's bad out here. We just tell you that so you don't move here.
I can tell you right now, it's 75 degrees and windy.
It's the first day it hasn't rained on a weekend in about 3 months, and I can't get my lawnmower started.
I'm guessing you're in Washington State, correct?
Yes, indeed.
No stereotypes there. Cliff, how's it down in Los Angeles?
Always sunny in California.
That's what they claim. Philadelphia, too, if I remember. But let me ask you guys then. When you guys hear of, you know, the Midwest being the hotbed of haunted houses, Michigan, Ohio, Illinois, and everyone talks Pennsylvania's got great haunts, and New York's got great haunts, and Texas, and other places, do you guys, you know, is there a jealousy thing? Is there a, well, you know, we do it better out here, we do it different out here, or have you guys been out to the east and the humid east and seen these haunts? And if so, what do you guys think, and how do you guys think you compare?
Well, we've been to a few haunts across the country. I don't think we have to be in competition that way. I think different areas have different ideas. We're all about, you know, learning and creating our own ideas. I think when the haunt industry does well across the country, it's good for everyone. And so it doesn't bother me if people like haunts out there. Do we have a different flavor out here? I think it all depends on who you've got working at your haunt and what you're doing that year. There are certainly haunts like Nightmare at Beaver Lake across the country that are all charity haunts and real theatrical, and then there's, you know, other haunts. But I don't feel like we're thought as the redheaded stepchild of the haunt world.
Anybody else want to comment?
I think our focus on competition is probably more regional. You know, we're more worried about what's going on up in Jody's place than anything else.
How do you guys work together?
We get together at the conventions.
Yeah, we have good friends. This is Jody. We're friends with everybody in the area, and we have a good time. We usually find one night every season where we take our screen team when we're not open, and we go visit the other haunts. So we always make it a point to head down to Nightmare Beaver Lake, and they always put on a great show. And we usually try to hit, you know, about three haunts in a night, and just really try and maintain the relationships with everybody in the industry up here, and we have a great time together. And then, of course, we see each other down at the West Coast Haunters Convention in Portland, and we have a good time.
Excellent.
I agree. Well, we like going to the local haunts too. It's a great way to catch up with people and share ideas and just see what's going on.
Sure, just about everybody works at one show or another and then moves and finds a different show to go work in. So, you know, everybody we've known over the last couple of decades is showing up in a show here and a show there, and you go see them and find them and touch base again, you know.
Well, maybe instead of, you know, looking at a competition-wise and the idea of haunts, you know, not associating with the West Coast for a lot of the industry, do you guys feel that's a challenge with, you know, the concept haunts are fall, they're October, they're Halloween, and with not as much of a fall season in the West Coast, is that something you guys got to overcome with having people come to it, getting people into the whole Halloween and haunt thing? Jody, you first on this, I guess.
Well, I will say that I feel like some of the other haunts around the country are cheating a little bit because they have such great weather year-round.
Yeah, small
window of opportunity, and then, you know, we have all the beautiful weather for a couple months there. We get our build on and get things squared away, and then October hits and the downpours hit, and it's like, oh man. So, but you know, we still have a pretty good turnout even when it rains. So I guess some of the locals just think that adds to the ambiance of the event. So,
yeah, I agree. I don't think we're going to draw anybody from Pittsburgh to walk a mile through the rain in an outdoor hunt. And you know, we're concentrating on entertaining our local clientele, you know.
Yeah, we should probably, this is Jody again at Haunted Nightmare, should probably mention that us and Nightmare at Beaver Lake, we're both, the way we're set up is they're outdoor trails that then have outbuilding structures, so there's indoor scenes, but most of it is an outdoor trail, so we're very consistent in that fashion.
Is that considered the rainy season or the worst weather of the year or worst
yes.
weather? Yes. Oh my, resounding yes.
Well, the first two weeks of October are pretty nice, and they can be relatively dry. The final 2 weeks do tend to be a lot wetter.
How about you, Cliff?
Well, I have to say, being from the East Coast myself, you know, I had four hunts up in Louisville, and we competed against a lot of hunts, and it was hard trying to get that hunt dollar to where the hunts that I've helped out here on the West Coast, you know, it's a little bit of a relief that there isn't as many haunts. You know, I tell people here on the West Coast, you know, haunts over on the East Coast are like Starbucks in Seattle. They're on every corner. And here, you know, there are haunts over here, but they're just spread out all over the place, which is nice. And, you know, the thing about down here, especially in L.A., you know, you've got Universal, you've got Knott's, you've got Queen Mary, I wouldn't really say Disneyland because they just do, you know, the little kids Halloween thing. And, you know, but the major ones are Universal and not. And everybody is kind of scared to really go against those. So you really need more haunts in the LA area here than what are here. But then when you go further down in San Diego, you got tremendous haunts down there in that area.
Yeah, agreed.
Are most of your guys' shows inside buildings across the coast? From one side to the other?
Wait, who are you talking about?
Anybody in particular. Because over here, we lost our building about 15 years ago because of the big fire they had in New Jersey in 94. And it changed all the fire codes. And, you know, it was just impossible to comply with the fire codes that, you know, they had so many particulate matter smoke detectors and things like that. It made it really hard to put on a show inside a building, so we were forced outside.
Well,
do you guys have trouble with your fire marshal and fire codes on those lines because of that show, because of that fire, the disaster? I can't think of the name of it right now.
Are you talking about the show that
initially I think you're talking about the Six Flags Great Adventure in New Jersey with the trailer haunt fire back in the 90s?
Not at all.
Oh, so you're talking about the station fire here in Rhode Island.
It was a nightclub, and the pyrotechnics set the
is the station fire here in Rhode Island, yeah. I mean, we still have haunts in Rhode Island. The laws and stuff are really strict, it's really tough for the indoor haunts in this area to do it. You know, I'm at a farm, and that's the other thing with the Northeast. A lot of farms, because it's the end of their season, will do haunt attractions with the whole hayride thing and the outdoor trails. But it is a big restriction, especially in Rhode Island. The codes are so much more stringent. You have to have not only the hard-lined fire alarms now, you have to have all types of very expensive systems, but set sprinkler systems, not just water sprinkler systems. They have to be the full setup. So we've had a lot of even small halls like Knights of Columbus halls and things like that go out and under because they need multi-million-dollar fire alert systems put in. So for haunts, it's been a little struggle, but a majority of them are outdoor or on farms where it's not, you know, structures or anything that's under the fire laws. But again, with everybody's safety in mind, we, you know, the alt exits, treating your props and everything, treating your scenes, having plans for it, and just general safety is always on the minds of everybody here regardless.
Oh, yeah, thoroughly understood. I was just wondering if everybody had the same issues with the inside buildings.
Well, out here in Vegas, with the exception of Fright Dome, most of the haunts out here in Vegas are trailers. And I know, talking to Rich with LV Haunts and with JR over at the Freakling Brothers, yeah, the fire marshals are even more stricter. They're severely strict on the trailers because of the lack of room.
Right.
So do you guys primarily have outdoor attractions, or do you have a combination, or are they tent haunts and not permanent structures? I know that one of the haunts on my bucket list, and has been for a very long time, is Pirates of Emerson. And I believe if they're not now, they were a tent haunt for a while.
Yes, they were.
And multiple attractions built into those. So I've actually done a workshop in Sacramento at Heartstoppers, and they were a temporary haunt. They would build actually after a festival in July 4th at that time. And I believe Cliff Allen was one of my students during the workshop there. But it was fascinating for them, at least, that they actually did not start building until after some celebration, July 4th celebration. So it doesn't seem that, you know, the trend out west is permanent structures. I know there's probably, you know, hundreds of them out there in permanent year-round structures, but it doesn't sound like you guys are that. It looks like you've either got a combination of indoor, outdoor, or trails, or the like.
Well, at Nightmare, we're about a 3/4 mile trail where we have some sets where you walk by them. We have some full buildings that we put up with roofs and an inside and then out. You go in and out of the buildings, and then at our very end, we've taken over a picnic shelter that's about 1,000 square feet. And we convert that into about 8 to 10 rooms. But we don't actually start building in the park until the end of September.
Really?
Yeah. And
yeah,
then
go ahead.
We put it all up in just a few weeks.
Wow. That's really putting something together quick.
Well, we start in February building in our workshop. But yeah, the last week in September or so, we truck everything down there, and we're just down there every day putting up buildings and props and lighting and everything.
Is that more because of the weather? Or?
No, it's because it's in a public park.
Oh.
And because the city, that's the time we can get the picnic shelter. We take over the lodge that they use for weddings and other things. That's our headquarters, you know, where we do our makeup and our wardrobe and feed our actors and everyone else, and everything goes on in there. And so we take that all over, to do as little impact on the park as possible. So we get in there, we work every day, put everything up, and then, you know, we start tearing down November 1st.
Wow. Just want to remind everybody, you are listening to the Roundtable of Terror here on the Big Scary Show. We're talking West Coast haunts with Cliff Allen, Jody Bossert, Sean Morse, Kurt Madden, and Dana Young, along with the Forca host, talking how they do it West Coast style. We're going to pay a couple of bills with some very important messages, and we'll be right back.
creepycollection.com. The most disturbing, realistic, handmade props and animatronics for the horror industry. Now featuring FearFlex technology. Voted best zombie props of 2011 and 2012. CreepyCollection.com for all your gore and more.
And we're back talking West Coast haunts with a bunch of folks out on the left coast. Cliff Allen, Jody Bossert, Sean Morse, Kurt Madden, and Dana Young, along with the four Gahosts. We're celebrating and paying tribute to the West Coast haunts out there that you may have heard of, that you may not have heard of, and give them a chance to prove that, hey, they're as scary as anybody else, if not more. And talking during the break, the word trebuchet came up, and even better, functioning trebuchet. Kurt, what have you got out at your haunt? This I am incredibly intrigued about.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, we have a big grass field that's about 150 yards, you know, 500 feet that we have to walk through. It trail kind of winds around it a little longer than the grass yard itself anyway. So we wanted to build something that would occupy that big open space. And, you know, we got outside of our closed building and thought, you know, this would be an interesting way to use and utilize an outdoor venue. So we built a 9-foot tall, 12-foot wide, fully functional trebuchet, 600-pound counterweight, and we used, we're firing it at night, so we used a 2-liter pop bottle with some chem lights in it, and we have a whole theatrical production on the people who launch it, you know, and it was really safe. We used it, we fired it about 200 times in the first show, and it'd launch a bottle 100 feet in the air and 100 yards downrange into a target zone, and then we had two propane burners that we'd set off, and they'd shoot 6-foot flames in the air. So this bottle comes crashing down, it blows up, shoots water 12 feet in the air, it's surrounded by these sets, tents, you know, the siege camp, and then we'd set off the torches, the fire buckets, and it would light up all the trees. It looked like this, all the water was part of the explosion, you know, it'd light up the water. Yeah, it was a pretty good deal, but it worked against us in some ways, because when you're doing a trail show with a lot of sets, you really rely on a constant flow of patrons going through each set. And the trebuchet would bunch up 50 or 75 at a time, and then they would bunch up at the next set and bunch up at the next set. You follow me?
Absolutely. You know, conga lines are prevalent everywhere, and that's... Yeah. I hate them. But I could... But it sounds like it's so worth it. I have just added Nightmare at Beaver Lake to my bucket list. I have got to see that in action.
Yeah. We'll see.
Kurt, this is Jody. You ever take that trebuchet up to Snohomish for their pumpkin hurl?
You know, I do a lot of stuff. I don't need to... No. To make a short story even longer, no. I think they'd hand me my tail is what I'm afraid of.
there's such things as beautiful. It's a gorgeous piece of medieval machinery, but that's what it's really good for. But it does, and it launches beautifully.
That's awesome.
There are just not enough trebuchets at haunts these days. I think that is a very untapped market. So anybody listening out there, build one.
You know, we don't use it all the time. We run it for 3 years at a time, and so it's kind of in the off season right now. And we'll bring it back here eventually.
Oh, that is!
But I'll tell you, it's parked in Kurt's driveway, and his house. He doesn't get any trouble there.
Yeah.
Just the occasional group of Vikings who want to invade or borrow it.
Yeah, I have a sign on it that says "We'll siege for beer."
Well, there you go. See, you're not getting enough people. If you have Will Siege for Mead, it's on there. Speaking of marking and going through stuff, what do you guys feel is your base market out there? I just want to get a feel if it's different than our parts of the country. Who's coming to your haunt? And I guess, Chris, we'll go with you first.
Kurt. I mean,
Kurt.
I'm sorry.
I forgot to write down a list of people today.
Yeah, no problem. We really think it's young adults. High school is probably the most prominent, but... We do have a lot of young families with kids in the 7 to 10 year old range, And so we have an hour each night that we cater to them specifically. So keeping that demographic, and then we key down the show for that time period. It also works in our favor of getting our more intense actors time to get into more detailed makeup and, you know, be able to put them out into show in time to catch that portion of our program. So we use that family hour as kind of a warm-up time, get everything in place.
How about you, Jody or Sean?
Can you repeat the question? I'm sorry. We're talking sure. Market, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. What's your base audience that's coming out to your haunt?
Yeah. So last year we actually had a local classic rock station kind of headline our kind of like our title sponsor, if you will. We found that it really brought more of an older demographic, and our numbers really weren't up much more than they were the year before. It was really more of just the demographic just changed, if anything. So I think we're going to go a different route this year. Definitely continue focusing more, you know, on the social media, if not ramp that up a bit. And we keep hearing about billboards, like maybe that's the way to go. And we do, our location is right on the main freeway, I-5 out here. So we do have a lot of good visibility for stuff like that. We're adjacent to the freeway, so we do have a good opportunity there. But yeah, so we're going to keep dabbling, try some new things, see what we can do. But yeah, definitely social media is pretty much the core of our efforts.
One thing we do have is Sundays, we dedicate those to families, and we encourage families to come out. The hours are like between 6 and 9 or 6 and 8. And it allows the families to come out and go walk through the scenes and get them more involved in the haunted house without, you know, the scares being there.
Yeah, Kurt, I you mentioned that you have low scare hours for the kids as well. Just curious, what do you guys do as far as adults wanting to go through with their kids, but yet you don't want to give away the scares to the adults who might come back later and pay full price? Kind of curious what other haunts do.
Well, go ahead.
Okay, so... the things we change over for full scare are, we actually have a few sets that are not open during our family time. They're more intense. We have a little side trail. You can bypass them when it's full scare, but most people don't. So they're much more intense. We also up the amount of blood and gore throughout the entire show. The lights go down throughout the trail. We have a significant number of actors that don't go out until 8 o'clock. That are both in sets and also outside of sets. So we also have our actors trained at two different levels, one much more intense than the other. And so you definitely get a different show. Although you would get a different show every time you went through our haunt anyway. Our actors don't have lines. And in fact, from night to night, you'd have different actors in the same sets. So... we teach more how to be that character, and then we let the actors find their way in that, you know. And so one person's zombie is another person's different zombie is another zombie. There's so many ways to play it. And so we definitely have two levels of intensity. We also try to play towards individual patrons. We have kids who come through who think it's the coolest thing and they really want us to be intense with them. And then, you know, you get a 40-year-old person who comes through and they're scared to death. They go two sets and they have to be escorted out. So it's not always based on the time. It's you got to really read your audience.
Let's not pick on the 40-year-olds here.
Well, I'm one of them, so I'm not the one you're scaring out, but I've escorted people. I mean, I'm 44 and I've escorted people older than me out of the haunt. Because they just, it's too much for them.
So how are your actors? Do you have issues with recruiting? Do you have issues keeping them motivated? Are they, you know, are they younger? Are they older? What's kind of the demographic of your acting teams?
I'd say most of our actors are in the 16 to 20-year-old range. A lot of high school students and local colleges. We have a fair number of adults who started that way and have stayed with the haunt for 20 years, though. Who are still doing it as well. We recruit at schools and all over the place. We do a lot of community service during the year to drum up interest in the haunt. But, you know, it's like a lot of people do it because, oh, my friends did this last year and they said, it was a blast, and I got to try it out this year. And sometimes you just you find those people who just the haunt is the best thing in their life. You know, it just where has this been all my life? That happened to me when I was 30. Where I grew up, there weren't any haunts. And when I moved out here and I found Scare Productions and then Nightmare at Beaver Lake, I was thrilled beyond belief. But we get a lot of kids who are, you know, they're in high school and they don't fit in there. They don't find, you know, their niche. And, you know, we're happy to have them. You're creative. You want to act crazy. You want to paint stuff. You want to build stuff. We love that. You know, we'll encourage all that strange creativity that, you know, school says not so much.
One of the things, you know, to paint this picture, 100 kids is a typical cast for a night. And then, you know, there's 20 people in the makeup department and 20 people in the casting department and 25 people in security. And then we got a dozen bus drivers. You know, there's our kitchen staff cooks 200 meals a night. So it can be a lot of kids that we go through, and some act for a while and then disappear. Some are working on community service hours. And, you know, one night we'll have, you know, 150 people all in costume and all ready to go and having a good time. And three nights later, it's down to 35. And I'm always like, what the heck happened here, you know?
We're the best.
You know, when there's a big test in our local high schools.
How is things like high school football in the Great Northwest? I mean, I know haunts in Texas that can't have high schoolers on Friday nights because everybody in town is at the football game. You know, in parts of the South where football's a religion, especially high school football, do you have that same issue up your neck of the woods?
Yeah, well, being as we're from Seattle where the Seahawks play.
I'm thinking more high school Friday nights, but, you know.
Yeah, still. We do have a football
team. You have a nice team up there, sure.
Yeah, no, Friday nights, it can be a little bit of a challenge with getting the actors to show up and whatnot. But we tend to do all right, but, yeah, it's definitely down a little bit. Well, one challenge we have, though, is when you've got those younger – those high school aged actors, or even if you go even a little bit lower, the ninth grade into junior, I don't like to go too young, but you end up getting the parents that show up to pick them up at 10 o'clock and we're open another hour still, and it's like, you're killing me. So yeah, there's always those little challenges with volunteers, but it is what it is. Make it work.
Yep.
I'm going that's okay. I was going to take a little bit of a left turn here and ask all of you, you know, the ranking systems that everybody publishes, and they're wide and varied between the different venues, they always seem to rank haunts that are for the most part from right around the Mississippi east. Do you guys feel like you're being slighted in that respect, that you're not getting the recognition on some of these quote-unquote haunt ranking systems that are out there?
Well, I know most of them that are up high like that have hundreds of thousand-dollar budgets, and that's nowhere near we are, so I'm not not slighted at this point. But as we continue to grow, maybe down the road, I'll keep a better eye on it.
Yeah, I don't see us competing with, you know, a $200,000 budget. We met some haunters down at the Vegas conventions that, you know, some of the greatest shows on the East Coast, and we just don't have the population centers that are going to support it, I guess. Either that or I don't know what the difference is, but I don't see us competing with Knott's Berry Farm or some of the other shows.
Well,
we don't see too many people coming out and asking us, though.
Well, Knott's Berry Farm, that's kind of, you know, I put that with, you know, with Universal and things like that. But, you know, just the standalone haunts and, you know, the ranking systems, I've seen different ranking systems. They've got local, regional, national. Do you guys have any? I'm sorry?
I don't see how those polls could possibly reflect the real quality of any of the shows. Nobody, no matter how big a haunt enthusiast, goes to all the haunts. There's so many in our country, which is great. But there's no way you've gone to them all and seen them all and can really rank them all. So it just seems like it comes down to, let's get, you know, you know, as many people as we know to go vote for us on this website. and now go all over to this website and vote for us again. And it doesn't seem like it's a real judge of the best haunts. How could it be? You know, it just doesn't seem logical that this could possibly be an accurate telling of the best haunts.
And that's part of my point is they're all very subjective. I mean, if you have some reviewers come through and they either love or hate your haunt, but another group of reviewers come through and they either love or hate your haunt. So it's all depends on who's going through, the time they're going through. There's a lot of – that's why it's all subjective. And that's what I was asking, why I was asking because, you know.
Kind of brings up that issue, you know, you have like Ohio Valley haunts.
Right.
Where you have North Carolina haunts as a regional website that goes out and, you know, ranks haunts in the Ohio Valley. Or Illinois, hauntedillinois.com, I think, is their website. Right. Is there a – Washington haunts or an Oregon haunts or a SoCal or NoCal haunted regional haunted website or forums where people do rank and go visit all the haunts in Southern California or Oregon or Washington?
I don't say that we really rank per se. I just say that we share thoughts with each other. We do have the groups, but we don't really have the ranking system like we do on the East Coast. You know, there is like the West Coast Haunters that actually have the convention up in Portland. There is the SoCal Haunters, more of a home haunters group. There's the NorCal Haunters, again, more like a home haunters group, Fright Fest Northwest. You know, there's a lot of groups out there, but none of them really judge the other haunts.
Okay.
Up here in the Northwest, we do have a haunter aficionado who has a website. I think it's called hauntedpugetsound.com. And yeah. She tends to get around to all the local haunts in the Seattle or greater Puget Sound area. And she will give a review of those. And that's the main website that has a good review. And she does hit some haunts over in the East Coast. She does the legendary haunt tours. So she has a pretty good understanding of the different haunts and the different levels around the country. So she does a good job ranking our local haunts.
Yeah, there is there is one other group too, Theme Park Review. They do go around to the different theme parks, but then they also go to some of the major haunts across the West Coast too.
Very nice.
You know, you asked me earlier if we go to other haunts in the area. And, you know, I really kind of make it a point not to. And I think it's because I really hate the idea of stealing somebody else's idea. And, you know, if you see something that you really like, somewhere in your mind, it is always going to be something that you are going to want to do a little differently. And I think that would bother me to no end that an idea that I had was born in somebody else's show. And so really, I really consume my time with concentrating on my own projects and seldom go to another show.
Interesting. Have any of you been to the big conventions outside of either Transworld or West Coast? I've noticed that in the last couple of years, a couple of more have popped up. Haunt X is back in Reno. Scare LA is going to be in its second year. But have any of you been to, say, you know, HauntCon or the Midwest Haunters Convention? And if so, what were your opinions or what did you think?
You know, I have to say, Drew, with these other conventions that are popping up all over the place here on the West Coast, the one rocker that did one up in San Diego.
Kurt Hammack's Fear Fest Evil, is that the one you're talking
correct.
About?
Right, yeah. And then, you know, with West Coast Haunters Convention, you know, which is now in its fifth year up in Portland, Scare LA going into a second year, Son of Monsterpalooza, you know, Bat State, these other conventions are popping up all over the place, and I think it's actually starting to wake up some of the people on the East Coast and say, hey, there is something over there. And, you know, I really can't speak for everybody else that's on here, but, you know, it is nice to see that there is some recognition that there are haunts over here on the West Coast with these kind of conventions.
Absolutely. You cannot have too many conventions. There will be people who tell you, yes, you can, but you know, for the casual convention goer, there can't be too many, my opinion.
Yeah, I know for us up here in Seattle, having the West Coast Haunters Convention in Portland is a great, it's one of the only opportunities we can really rely on for our Scream team. It's a great team builder for us to all head down there. And I love that there's more events popping up on the West Coast, bringing more knowledge, you know, about the industry to the public all over the West Coast. I just worry about the pull that they can all get as far as vendors go, because vendors definitely drive things. So, you know, if the vendors can maintain that many trade shows, that's great. That's just more opportunities for us to go have fun and see everybody throughout the year.
Absolutely.
But it'll be interesting to watch how it unfolds.
And unfortunately, the time on the clock is showing that we need to start winding this down. You make a good segue talking about vendors. This is the part of the show that we affectionately like to call the plugs. We'll give you a chance to plug your various products. We'll start with Dana, ladies first. I guess you and Kurt can kind of plug together here if you like. Tell us how people can get information about your Haunt and Scare Productions.
Well, nightmare@beaverlake.com is our website. We also have Facebook page for fans. We also, our Scare Productions is scare.com, and that we also have Scare Productions is on Facebook as well. And
scare.com.
Yep. Oh my. We got it.
You're the one. Awesome.
We are the one, and I can tell you that many people have tried to take it from us, so it's we know it's a popular commodity, but that's a good place for both patrons and volunteers to get information about both aspects, the behind the scenes and the show itself.
Excellent. Jody and Sean, how about you guys?
You can find us on hauntednightmare.com. We're also on Facebook, Haunted Nightmare. Twitter, Haunted Night.
Twitter is Haunt Nightmare.
Haunt Nightmare.
You only get 14 characters for a username, so...
Oh, okay. So be sure and go check that out. And Cliff, I know we're talking haunts a lot, but you are a filmmaker and work for Necrotic Productions. So if you want to plug everything you've got going on there down in Los Angeles.
That might take a while. But you can check most of it at www.scream4reel.com. That's the website for Worst Nightmare Productions now. And then also, yeah, I'm doing the marketing for Necrotic Creations. We'll be doing a lot of all the conventions that I had mentioned before, Haunt X, West Coast, Bat Space, Carol A, Santa Monica Palooza, so on and so on, throughout the year. And check it out at necroticcreations.com.
Were they at Transworld?
They were. Yes, we did very well there. This was our third year there. And it was very successful for us, so we'll definitely be back next year.
And what's the status of your documentary?
It is in post-production right now. The documentary is still going to happen, and yes, it is in post-production. Some great things going on with that. Great people that we've signed on just from Transworld, and so looking forward to that. And also, Worst Nightmare Productions is going to hit it hard here in SoCal. We're bringing over what they call ghost runs from the East Coast, where we involve three or four haunts in different areas for like a little scavenger hunt run. So it's going to be
nice.
Fun.
We might have to make a rot in the future and talk about that. That sounds great. Well, of course, we can't do this roundtable of terror without great guests such as Cliff Allen, Jody Bossert, Sean Morse, Kurt Mann, and Dana Young. We want to take this opportunity to thank you very, very much for talking about the West Coast. And, of course, give thanks and kudos to our hosts, including Storm.
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary to us.
The Unknown Scare Actor.
I've got glass packs on my mufflers on the hearse.
You son of a gun. Jerry Vane, the Haunster Mentalist.
I got beer.
You win. Yeah. My name is Drew Badger. I have just eaten a great steak dinner, and I am satisfied in that. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, go support your local haunts, whether you're in the Midwest, East Coast, West Coast, or not. Sounds like there's a bunch of them out there, so get out there and support them. Come the haunt season. Once again, this is the Roundtable of Terror here on the Big Scary Show, and we'll be right back.
Deadline News is proudly sponsored by the National Haunters Convention, happening May 2nd through the 4th, 2014, at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks, Pennsylvania. Visit HalloweenShow.com for more information. Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. We start off with some sad news from Fright Farm in Smithfield, Pennsylvania, via Facebook. We are shocked and deeply saddened as we lay to rest one of our own, Mike Rich. A co-owner of Rich Farms, Inc., Mike was also one of the founders of Fright Farm, has been heavily involved since its inception in 1990. Besides a love for haunting, Mike also had a passion for landscape and architectural design, where he excelled and with a high level of expertise at our on-site nursery. We are grateful that just a month ago, Mike had the opportunity to return to Transworld's annual Halloween and Attraction Show in St. Louis. It was his first time experiencing the National Haunt Show since the old Chicago days, where he was a repeat attendee. The entire Rich Farms staff sends its sincere condolences to Mike's family and friends. The legacy known as Fright Farm will continue for years to come in his honor as Pennsylvania's premier haunted attraction. Mike was only 57 and is survived by his wife Beth, his two daughters Emily and Allison, his son Jeremy, his mother, two sisters, and two brothers. The Big Scary Show sends its condolences to the family and friends of Mike Rich and Fright Farm, and offers up this moment of silence. We have this update from the West Coast Haunters Convention. The West Coast Haunters Convention wants to welcome its newest sponsor, Darklight Precision Lighting. They're sponsoring the 13th floor. Hold on, what? Yes, indeed, the 13th floor and Bar 13 will take on a new look and feel. If you haven't made plans to get a room on the 13th floor, you better act now. The fee for a room on the 13th floor is in addition to booking a room. Rooms are from May 15th through the 18th. Sponsor deals are still available as well. Go to www.hauntersconvention.com for more details. We also have a little West Coast news from Jeff Davis of the Davis Graveyard. If anyone is attending the West Coast Haunters Convention this year that has a promo video of their home or pro haunt event or company, I am looking for content to put on a looping DVD, 2 hours max, that we can run at the DoubleTree TV channel during our event. If you'd like your video to be included, email me your YouTube link or email me a link for downloading the video, jeff@davisgraveyard.com. Keep the videos to just under a few minutes, and they must be G-rated. No gore, no nudity. This is a public hotel channel, and we have to get the DVD approved before they will play it. We have this news on the Cedar Rock Zombie Apocalypse in Morganton, Indiana. Cedar Rock Haunted Trail presents the Cedar Rock Zombie Apocalypse. This is an overnight survival experience where you will have to venture out on over 100 acres of secluded woods to find your weapons, food, and water supply through various abandoned structures. There will be a bonfire safe haven and zombie-free sleeping after 1 a.m. Camping, hot dogs, and s'mores are included. The price is $60 a person for a group of four. Kids 12 and under are free. If you survive the night, because there is a way to be eaten, and gather all the supplies, you'll win a great prize. The Cedar Rock Zombie Apocalypse will be happening June 7th at the Bill Monroe Music Park and Campground, 5163 Indiana 135 in Morgantown, Indiana. For more information, search for the Cedar Rock Haunted Trail on Facebook. We have some more zombie news regarding the Lions Zombie Walk in Lyons, New York. Zombie hordes gather with one common purpose: feed the hungry
On Saturday, October 18th, once a year, hundreds of zombie lovers get together in our unsuspecting village of Lyons, New York, to raise awareness and donations for the Lyons Food Pantry and, of course, to eat brains. The event takes place during the village's annual Pumpkin Palooza Festival in the middle of October. The horde gathers, judges judge the best of our zombies, and the horde proceeds in a frenzy around the village's central park and converges upon a location on which the horde shall rejoice in its success. For more information, go to facebook.com/Lyons, that's Lyons with a Y, Pumpkin Palooza. We have even more zombie news regarding the Zombie Mud Run. The Zombie Mud Run, a.k.a. Zombie Mudder, is a post-apocalyptic 5K obstacle mud run teeming with zombies infected with the Living Dead virus. Finally, a reason to run. Whether you're an avid mudder or you've never participated in a mud run, the Zombie Mud Run promises to be the most amazing, heart-pounding, adrenaline-producing mud run ever created. The race course is complete with Army boot camp-like obstacles that test your strength and endurance. You'll come in contact with natural and man-made obstacles. Like all mud runs, you'll need to climb walls and crawl in mud to add an extra degree of challenge and fun. We have added zombies. Its backstory is based on a post-apocalyptic time where zombies inhabit the Earth and humans must work together to save the human race. You may sign up as a human or a zombie. The Zombie Mud Run is an event that is designed for participants to push themselves physically, but in a fun way. Don't let the zombie angle fool you. This is a real mud run, and you must be in peak physical condition. The first outbreak is scheduled for May 17th in East Windsor, New Jersey, at the Field of Terror. For more information on future runs or to register, go to www.thezombiemudrun.com. We have this news from the Nightmare Factory in Havelock, North Carolina. The Nightmare Factory style show is coming to North Carolina. Silent Edge Entertainment, owners of the Nightmare Factory haunted attractions, will be producing a series of traveling sideshow performances on the East Coast this spring, summer, and fall season. We're still keeping most of the details a secret, but we can say the story will follow a group of sideshow performers that have come together to create their own type of circus, a much darker, more mysterious show that is sure to leave you breathless. More details are coming soon at SideshowCircus.com. We have an update from the Texas Frightmare Weekend. The hits just keep on coming. Please welcome our next guest, Thomas Decker, to TFW 2014. Ever since his turn as David in the John Carpenter-helmed version of Village of the Damned at the age of 5, Thomas Decker has been a respected actor whose efforts have leaned towards the horror genre. A lifelong fan of scary movies, Decker has starred in From Within, Laid to Rest, A Nightmare on Elm Street, All About Evil, and several other horror-centric projects. He has also been featured on TV's Heroes and The Secret Circle, as well as playing John Connor in the series Terminator, The Sarah Connor Chronicles. Thomas previously attended Texas Frightmare Weekend in 2011 to promote his work in Robert Hall's last film, Chrome Skull, Laid to Rest 2, and he is very excited to return to Dallas. For tickets and more information, go to TexasFrightmareWeekend.com. And finally, we have this news from Days of the Dead, Indianapolis. It is with great pleasure that we announce the addition of actor Corey Feldman to the guest roster for Days of the Dead, Indianapolis, happening June 27th through the 29th at the Wyndham, Indianapolis West. An iconic figure who needs no introduction, Feldman has starred in some of the most beloved and best-known movies across all genres over the last 40 years. From Lost Boys to Stand By Me to others including The Goonies, Gremlins, License to Drive, The Burbs, and many, many more. Corey Feldman will be appearing at Days of the Dead on Friday and Saturday only. Corey Feldman joins previously announced guests Dario Argento, Greg Sheffer, David Naughton, PJ Souls, and Bobby, Tara Reid, Simon Bradford, Doug Bradley, and many, many more as part of the quickly growing guest roster for Days of the Dead's fourth Indianapolis show. Vendor spaces and tickets for Days of the Dead Indianapolis are on sale now at daysofthedead.net/Indianapolis. Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
Hi, this is Luke Webb. I want to wish a happy birthday to the Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Mike Layton from Legends Dark Amusements, and happy birthday to the Big Scary Show.
Hi, I'm Chris Thomas from MusicForHaunts.com, and I would like to wish the Big Scary Show a happy birthday.
Jerry Vane. Jerry Vane. Bodies in the Bayou. Bodies in the Bayou. A Big Scary Show exclusive.
Happy birthday, Big Scary Show! You're two!
Hey, this is Nick Wolf, and I'd just like to wish the Big Scary Show a very merry birthday.
This is Derek Greenwood
and Ben Foster from Night Terrors of Effingham, wishing a happy second birthday to the Big Scary Show.
Are you feeling just a little bit crazy? Are you looking for the right costume to match that craziness? Then you need to go to Von Caron Productions and check out The Insane Ensemble. If you've got a mad scientist just ready to start working on a monster, you've got to check out The Psychosurgical Coat. If you're ready just to start butchering people up, they've got a dissection smock. Or if you think you're just a little bit too crazy and need to be restrained, how about a commitment coat? Von Caron Productions and The Insane Ensemble. Committed to haunters who expect quality. And remember, Halloween is but once all year. Von Caron Productions. Check them out at www.voncaron.com. That's V-O-N-C-H-A-R-O-N, Von Caron Productions.
Hey, this is Ashley Polly with Pale Knight Productions, wishing you a big happy birthday to the Big Scary Show.
Hi, I'm Amanda Lee. I want to wish the Big Scary Show a happy birthday from Phobia Haunted Houses in Houston, Texas.
Hey, this is Quan from Darklight, and I just wanted to wish the Big Scary Show a happy, happy birthday.
And ladies and gentlemen, as you know, if you've been listening for a while, and we certainly hope you have been, we're all talking conventions. We're going chronological order throughout the year, starting with HauntCon, kind of ending with Midwest, and maybe a few beyond. We'll just have to see. But due to the fact that not only is this our second anniversary show, but we are talking West Coast haunts and things like that, what a perfect time to bring aboard the West Coast Haunters Convention, which I believe is May 16th through the 18th at the Doubletree in Portland, Oregon. The organizer is Ed Roberts, been doing this a while. I believe Ed's on the phone. Ed, are you there up in Portland?
I am. How are you?
I am great. I hope your weather's better than it is right here. It's chilly, it's rainy. Perfect time to talk haunt.
No, I don't want to tell you how beautiful it is outside then.
Well, the warm weather's kind of spotty coming in. At least it's not the snowpocalypse we've had over this winter, so all that
good
stuff.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear about that.
So tell us, what is going on with the West Coast Haunters Convention going on in middle of May in Portland?
Well, this is our fifth year of doing West Coast Haunters Convention. The dates this year are May 16th through the 18th. A lot has happened. If your listeners have gone to the website, they may notice that we've got a new address. It's hauntersconvention.com. You can still use the old address, but it will take you over to our new website.
Nice to have a little shorter one.
Yeah, nice and short. But I'll tell you what, typing West Coast Haunters Convention was a bit tedious after a while, but we have a new web developer. HauntedKnight.com is doing our website for us, and really thrilled to be working with Jody Bossert and the team out there.
You get it now. It's very nice.
Yeah, really. I'm really thrilled with how it's shaping up.
Did you say Jody Bossert?
Jody Bossert, yes.
Jody Bossert is on our show.
He's
on our roundtable, so we've had
really
nice
love that guy.
Met him for the first time.
Yep.
Wonderful fella.
Speakers this year, if your listeners are fans of Face Off, we have Roy Woolley, R.J. Hattie, and Nix Herrera speaking this year and teaching classes and doing demos.
All fan favorites. Good
guys. Well, yeah, fan favorites, all three of them. Nix was also on Naked Vegas, which I believe he said got picked up for another season, which is nice to hear.
Very
and
nice.
Roy and RJ are on Fox and Company on the Sci-Fi Channel now. So still on TV. And then we have a young man from Portland, Jesse Lager. He's cosplay and costume designer extraordinaire. He was on the TV show Heroes of Cosplay. He'll be at our convention as well, teaching how to fabricate costumes and doing demos as also. And then if your listeners have never been or don't know or have to come to the show before, if they click on the schedule link, you'll see that we're offering right around 45 classes or so that are included in your admission.
Very nice.
Everything. I mean, there's every topic imaginable this year. Really thrilled with our lineup of classes from prop design. We have a gentleman that works with a company called Michael Curry Design. Michael Curry does work for Disney Universal. He's a local. He's going to be teaching classes. We have makeup for your haunted house. We have the Davis Graveyard team teaching classes again this year.
Excellent.
We have makeup artists from Grimm. We have musician Chris Thomas at the show. What else would be that's kind of new? You know, one of the things that I'm looking forward to going to would be the Haunt Moms panel. It's the people behind the scenes that take care of haunt actors. That's something new this year.
That's a great
actor
topic.
Training class. Yeah, actor training classes. You name it. Just about we got it covered.
And that's all included with the registration. You could basically
pay your $49. That's right. Your $49 gets you into any of these classes you want to for all 3 days. There are a few classes that have fees attached to them to cover material costs, and we are currently updating the website to include those. Probably by week's end, all of that information will be updated. Thursday night, we're all going.
How about some of the pre and after hours events? I understand you've got a Rocky Horror event coming up.
We're going to go to the Rocky Horror Picture Show at the historic Clinton Theater. on Thursday night. Tickets are on sale for that. We're touring the fantastic Haunted Millburn Manor. That's Friday night. A costume ball on Saturday night. And then to wrap things up, we do the Nightmare after the West Coast Hunters Convention movie night. All of those are, you know, kind of like extra events.
Are there extra fees involved with those?
There are Rocky Horror Picture Show, Costume Ball, all those have additional fees with them, yes.
What about the Nightmare after? Is that what movies are on tap for that?
You know, I'm not sure what we'll be watching. It's usually something pretty bad. we actually usually don't know until, here it says Pictures with Krampus, short Portland-based movie, a gift exchange, and two memorable movies. The gentleman who puts on this event, he's part of our team, usually doesn't let us know until the last minute what goodies he has for us. So there are no fees associated with this. This is actually, that event is a freebie.
Oh, what a great way to wind down the convention by going and watching terrible movies. I like that.
Yeah.
Go all Mystery Science Theater 3000 on them.
Yep, that's the one. Oh, and it's a blast. People come in their PJs, their onesies. We've got popcorn that'll be there. It's a good time.
And that's at the hotel itself? You don't go to the separate night?
Yeah. It's upstairs on the second floor. We have a large space reserved for that, and it'll all be set up.
How about the tours? Where will they be going?
We'll be going to Millburn Haunted Manor, which is down in Hubbard, Oregon. It's about 35-minute drive from Portland on school buses down to the visit. He has two haunted houses. He has the classic manor, and he has a dark haunted house. And what's really unique about Mike's haunted house is, first of all, he's an agribusiness, so he's a working farm during the regular year, and then in the Halloween season, he has these great buildings that he uses for haunted houses.
Oh, nice. Does and he have a corn maze or anything like that?
No corn maze, but he does have a, I don't know if he'll open it up or not, depending on what the weather is like, but he does have a haunted forest. He's been growing the trees himself, so I'm not sure if we can convince him to open that up, but I know the manor and the darkness will be open, so those two will be a part of the tour.
Very nice.
And then there's also the ever-popular 13th floor. This hotel, the DoubleTree of Portland, has an actual 13th floor, and West Coast Hunters Convention, for an additional fee, will decorate your room. If you want to get the 13th floor, we'll decorate your room for you in a Halloween theme, and then you get to take home whatever decorations are in your room.
Oh, that sounds fun. Now,
it is a lot of fun.
Kind of off on that same topic, I understand every year you kind of auction off the infamous room 666 in the hotel.
Oh, yeah, I was going to get to that. So room 666 will be auctioned off again. Actually, the auction is live right now. I'm not even sure what the bidding is at. I should check while we're sitting here. And this year, we have the pleasure of having Sandy Schneider of Sandy Schneider Oddities and Necrotic Creations are helping to decorate this room. And whomever wins the bid, which is currently at $200, that's way, come on, people, you can do better than that. Whoever wins the auction gets to, again, it's an additional fee. You still have to reserve a room, but they get to take home every decoration that's in this hellish room.
Has anything ever happened to somebody staying either in room 666 or on the 13th floor? At least that you can legally tell us about, you know,
Yes. Well, we also have a rogue janitor by the name of Nick and his faithful helper and a staff maid that will be visiting all of these rooms on a sporadic basis, wreaking havoc on the guests that are staying there. On the 13th floor, we have a large contingency of Canadians who set up what they like to call the Canadian Embassy. There's just all sorts of great fun that takes place on both the 13th floor and in room 666.
I'm guessing but people don't get a lot of rest in those rooms.
No, not much. Because on the 13th floor, we also have a bar that we've set up called Bar 13, which might help segue into the fact that I'm not sure if your listeners know that the West Coast Haunters Convention, unlike any other trade show for haunters, is itself a 501c3.
We were going to talk about that. Excellent.
Good. Well, here we go.
Let's go.
When I started the show back in 2010, it was being held on campus of the Oregon School for the Deaf. It fast outgrew the space that was available there, so I was approached by several great haunters out of the Portland area. Let's take this off campus, and the director at the time graciously said, by all means, but with the caveat that we would turn it into 501c3, and then when we earned enough money, we would start giving grants to professionals that work with deaf children who have hearing impairments or autism, both areas that I work with. So here we are, 3 years now as a 501c3, and we're hoping that this year will mark the first year that we're able to actually give a grant.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, we're working hard
towards
that.
Do you have a list of people that have applied for said grant?
Well, once we have the funds available, then we will put it out. It will be in a tri-state area that will be available, and then we'll start going over the granting process.
How is the reaction of the town of Portland itself, knowing that, you know, you've got all these weird, freaky, scary people descending upon their town, but yet knowing that it's all for a good cause? Do you get any flack? I mean, you know, I live in the Bible Belt, and Halloween sometimes can be considered controversial among certain segments of the population. Have you ever run into any type of opposition or anything like that?
Well, Portland's
slightly less conservative than the Bible Belt.
Yeah, their logo or their mantra or their is keep Portland weird. So I think we just add to the ambiance of Portland. Their mission statement, that's what I was looking for, is keep Portland weird. And so they've embraced us. And more each year. I know that the guys who have the Hearst Club here in town, they're looking forward to our Sunday afternoon Hearst rally. And then the people from Portland are welcome to join us at the Costa Bowl. Well, anyone's welcome to join us at any of these events. It's not just open to haunters. Anybody can, you know, visit us.
Over the past couple of years, how many percentage-wise would you say have been, shall we say, off the street coming in and checking out all the cool stuff versus haunters that have come in?
I'd say the vast majority are. Yeah, the vast majority right now are haunters. We have, it was 2 years ago, our first year at the DoubleTree, there was a doctor's convention, and they were all very curious, what is this haunters business? What does this mean to be, what is haunter? And several of them found out there was going to be a costume ball, went into the trade show, bought up a whole bunch of stuff. Saturday night, they went upstairs, they got themselves dressed, and they bought tickets to come to the ball and had a blast.
Wonder if there were any crazy mad scientist, mad doctor type costumes.
Well, I think, yeah, they did, actually. They really did. I think as time goes by, as Portland becomes more and more aware that this event is taking place, I think that it will become a broader mix of people from the Portland area. You know, we have Fright Town, 13th Door, Confront Your Fears, and several large professional haunts, and then there are other, you know, the Davis Graveyard was a remarkable yard display. We have some very, you know, established haunts in the Portland area, and there's My Haunted House down at the School for the Deaf, the Nightmare Factory. We're coming into our 27th year. There are haunted houses out here. There is life on the other side of the Rockies, people. because Midwest, you can't turn around without running into a haunted house. That's where a lot of people think that haunts really live, but we've got a lot out here.
Well, our roundtable this show is talking with several haunt owners, so, you know, we're trying to change that perception that the West Coast is just not that thing over there filled with flannel shirts, coffee, hippies, and mountain biking. But there's actually some great haunts out there, as demonstrated by the roundtable. And a little bit also, I guess, in the last couple of years, there have been a couple of new conventions that have opened up. You know, Scare LA, I believe, will be in its second year in August, and Haunt X opening up in Reno this year. While it's not direct competition with the West Coast Haunters Convention, I mean, that can't do anything but help the West Coast haunt scene out there by bringing in more and more people to be made aware of what's actually out there in California, Nevada, and the Northwest.
The more the better. We can all play well together. That's one thing we do. We all help each other. The team that's running Haunt X, great group, and, you know, we've been helping each other out. This would be their first year after getting the HauntX name, and I think it's great. The whole approach they're taking is fantastic. I wish I could get away to go down and see it.
That's a shame, because I'll actually be there teaching a couple of workshops. So send your people and have them come take my class on actor training and such.
Well, and maybe next year we can convince you to come out to Portland.
Everything is negotiable. We can certainly talk off the air about that. In a nutshell, the who, what, where, when, and why for the West Coast Haunters Convention 2014. This is where we're actually the plugs.
Yeah, we are West Coast Haunters Convention at hauntersconvention.com. Why? Because in 2009, I was no longer able to take students to Transworld. We did this year. We took some kids this year. But when we were told we couldn't do it anymore, I said, well, I'm just crazy enough. Let's start a convention out here. There was nothing else. So I started a convention, and look where we are now. It's May. Actually, the pre-show stuff starts May 15th. The convention and trade show are 16th, 17th, 18th of May. That's 38 days, 17 hours, 13 minutes, and 36 seconds from now. You can buy tickets online. We are a 501c3 charity event. If you're a business owner listening to this and would like to be a part of the show or would like to learn more about the show, how you can have a presence at our convention, we'd love to talk with you. If you're a haunter, wherever you're located, if you want to learn more about the show or have any questions, you can contact me or any of the show directors on our website. We'd love to have you out. We'd love to teach you how we do things out here in the West.
With you being a not-for-profit convention, is everything a tax write-off?
There are some stipulations, but I can put you in touch with our treasurer, Chris Davis, and she can help you through the tax write-off process. If you're donating product to our auction, which we have a silent auction every Saturday night in conjunction with the costume ball, and we have some great prizes every year. This year is no exception. I'm going to be bidding on the original Gremlin molds. That's right. We have the molds from the movie Gremlins that have been donated to our auction. We'll hopefully have a list out eventually of items that are being added. Anyway, you can work with Chris Davis on, and she can help you with the
And consult your local tax people, of course.
Right, exactly. It's a great time. Not to brag, but I think we put on one heck of a good show. We're family, and there's always room for more family members.
So kids are welcome for this.
Oh yes, all ages. Might as well let the cat out of the bag. I started an organization. It's in its infancy. It's Future Haunters of America, the FHA, and I'm working with several local youth to help them get their first home haunt started or professional. As a matter of fact, one of those young people that has his own haunt will be speaking this year, and several will be in attendance. Golly, I could go on and on and on for hours about this convention. I'm so pleased with everything that takes place.
Excellent. Unfortunately, we don't have hours and hours.
I know.
I do want to take the time to thank you, Ed Roberts, for taking a time out of your extremely busy schedule to come talk to the Big Scary Show about the West Coast Haunters Convention, May 16th through the 18th in Portland, Oregon. Major airport there. All flights can get to Portland. Trust me, no matter where you are, it's probably very worth the trip. Just on this brief conversation we've had, I'm already jealous just with the cool stuff, even just the stuff going on at the hotel, not even counting the tours and the Rocky Horror and all the other stuff. But for more information, hauntersconvention.com, brand new website with all the information, a list of all the vendors, lots of scheduled activities, lots of workshops, education. It's a great convention all around. One of these days, you're going to see the Big Scary Show out there. Maybe next year, we'll certainly talk. But Ed Roberts, thank you very much again for taking the time to speak here on the Big Scary Show. Once again, hauntersconvention.com. Congratulations on your fifth year. Keep us posted on all the good new stuff coming out, and we'll be right back.
Hi there. This is RJ Hattie from Face Off and Rad Effects Company. And happy birthday, Big Scary Show. You're getting old. Get off of my lawn, you crappy kids.
Hi, this is Roy from Face Off. Wishing the Big Scary Show a happy birthday.
Do you remember your worst nightmares? What is it that fills you with dread? Do you hear things go bump in the night? Well, it's time It's time to face your fears.
Brought to you by Dark Spectre Custom Couture. Check out Nez's work at www.darkspectre.com.
Couture for the creatures of the night.
Greetings, Haunters. The Unknown Scare Actor here. What does make people scared in a haunted attraction? Is it the actors, the sets, or fear of the unknown? Over the next few weeks, I'm going to start addressing these different subjects and really try to dig down deep and to figure out exactly what scares you and why people go to haunted attractions to face their fears. I will be talking to people like haunt owners. I will be speaking with actors, set designers. I want to get a take on everybody's outlook on how to scare people. And let me just say that the reason that Face Your Fears is going off on this slightly different subject is because of one of our listeners, Bo Somerville. Bo, thank you very much for the suggestion. It's something I've been wanting to do for a long time, and your email gave me just what I needed to get it going. So
always remember one thing, Haunters. Everyone is afraid of something.
Hi, this is David Markland. All of us at Scare LA, the Los Angeles Halloween Convention, want to wish the Big Scary Show a big and fun happy birthday.
Hey, this is Kristen at Sinister FX. We're based out of Louisville, Kentucky, and we want to wish the Big Scary Show a happy birthday.
Tired of surfing all over the web to find the latest haunt news? Why sift through hours of those VideoTube channels trying to find the latest how-to videos? Isn't there an easier way? Of course there is! Introducing HauntersDigest.com. With HauntersDigest.com, just one click will put a world of haunt information at your fingertips. From the latest news, to vendor information, to video tutorials. And don't forget the soon-to-be world-famous Haunt Brief, which takes a deeper look into many aspects of the industry. There's even a directory of over 800 haunted attractions, so you can find the right one for you. Still not convinced? There's even columns written by many experts in the industry covering a wide range of topics. Rumor has it a certain member of a particular podcast might even write for HauntersDigest.com. As an extra bonus, you can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For more information, visit www.hauntersdigest.com today.
Hey, I'm John with SpookyProps.com. We make chainsaws and shockers, and we're giving a big happy birthday shout-out to the Big Scary Show.
Happy birthday to the Big Scary Show. I'm at HauntCon. Come see us at StoreDoom.com.
Gorgeous Frankenstein, made in hell, on the Big Scary Show.
Kick down hell, the devil's home.
Hey, this is Eric with Techland Houston. We're here at the Haunt Con and Halloween Party Expo having a great time. Really afraid of everything that's happening around us, but having a lot of great sales. So happy birthday to the Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Tom Devlin from 1313 Effects Fright Zone, and I would like to wish the Big Scary Show a happy, happy birthday.
In a world of generic one-size masks.
Ugh, this mask is too tight for my head. I can't see.
Where you don't have time to wait to be scary.
You're taking too long. Just throw something on and get to your scene.
Darkest fears unlimited. Masks, props, and blood that will make your haunt scary.
All right, this mask fits perfect, and parts of it are even pulsating. Finally, I'm gonna scare every night.
Darkest Fears Unlimited.com.
Hi, this is Mike Dalby with VFX Creative Studios. We're here at Haunt Con wishing the Big Scary Show a happy anniversary. We're here selling our Attack Line puppets, clowns, scarecrows, zombies, werewolves, and more. Come see us.
This is Alex Lohman from Wind Hinges Creek wishing a very happy birthday to the Big Scary Show.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people and others. Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse. Von Charon Productions. Von Charon, VonCharon.com. Screamline Studios at ScreamlineStudios.com. We'd also like to thank the Four Ghosts. Storm, catch his ramblings at HauntMinute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor. Videos and more, unknownscareactor.com. The Haunt Rocker Jerry Vane. Be sure to pick up his latest CD, Virus 308, on jerryvane.com. And Drew Badger, actor, trainer, consultant, and more, rabbitbadger.biz. Be sure to tell us what you think. Send feedback to us at feedback@bigscaryshow.com. And keep sending in those news items, news@bigscaryshow.com. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/bigscaryshow. Make sure to follow us on our new Twitter account at The Big Scary Show. We just may occasionally tweet out some information that you won't find anywhere else. Be sure to search for The Big Scary Show on iTunes. And while you're there, please give us a review. We would appreciate it a lot. Tune in next time when we bring you the latest news and information from the world of haunting and horror. And thank you once again for listening. Without you, we are nothing. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is The Big Scary Show.
Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.